Good morning, church. How are you guys doing today? Am I on? I'm on. Can you hear me okay? All right, good. Now I can hear me too. That's good. Welcome to the church at Whistling Pines once again. If this is your first time with us, we are so tickled pink that you're here and want you to know that we celebrate giving to God with our finances, with our talents, with our gifts, and with our strengths. And if this is your first time here, please do not feel obligated to give monetarily. If God speaks to you to give to somebody using a gift that God has given you, please do that. This service is our gift to you. So if this is your first time, please sit back. And our prayer is that God will speak to you and challenge you. And not just your first time, for all of us. If this is your second time or more, please do feel obligated to give. What I want to talk about this morning is, I'll try to be as brief as possible, but it's very important. And it kind of piggybacks on what I talked about last week. What I talked about last week was Jesus is the truth. And we talked about what truth is, and that truth comes from the Greek word aletheia, which means reality, means substance of truth. And so it's not just saying it, it's not just believing it, it's doing it. And I talked quite a bit about grace and how sometimes we can trample grace underfoot. We can go too far with grace. Really, grace is so amazing that you pretty much have to go to the edge of almost trampling on it just to get some sort of a concept of how big and how dynamic grace truly is. But we can also go too far and it becomes loosey-goosey, sloppy agape type of love and type of grace. Likewise, our giving can certainly be put in that category. And in particular, the word tithe. How many people know what tithe means? Okay, it means 10%. It's a percentage of the increase that you have. If that's the increase of fruit or the increase of vegetables or livestock or money, that 10% goes back to God. But my question this morning is tithing a New Testament principle? Is it something that is just done away with now that the New Testament was ushered in? That was an old covenant law, and now that the new covenant, the better covenant, is in, tithing is done away with. Many people believe that. Many people would preach it. Many people would say, yes, absolutely, we're under grace, and therefore give whatever's in your heart. We're just going to look at that real briefly. Again, we're not going to go in great detail and depth, but we're going to go through it fast. So put on your seatbelts, and we're going to go through this. I want to show you some scriptures. First of all, I want to start with, when did tithing begin? It began in Genesis chapter 14 as the first time we see tithe, but I want to back up. Really, giving to God started with Cain and Abel. We see that Cain and Abel both gave of the first fruit and the firstborn of their livestock. And so we see this first concept of giving your best, giving your first to God. But as far as a percentage, a tenth, a tithe, we first see it in Genesis chapter 14. And that was when Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, which was the first high priest. We're going to get into that in just one second. And this was 400 years before the law. So those people that say tithing was a part of the law and now we're under grace, therefore we're no longer a part of the law, tithing was in fact before the law. And but the one thing that the law did was it regulated it. It said you must tithe. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews is a very simple book in fact, because its theme is this: Jesus is better. Jesus is the better covenant. Jesus is the better priest. Jesus is the better prophet. That's really the simple theme of the book of Hebrews. But within that simplicity, there is a lot of complexity. And when you're reading it, it's very confusing. This is one of those chapters. And so I'm just going to read the first 10 verses of chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, again, going back to Genesis chapter 14, the first high priest that we see named in Scripture, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth or a tithe of all the spoils was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness. That's what Melchizedek means. And then also he was King of Salem, which means King of Peace. What the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is doing is he is correlating Melchizedek with Jesus. Or another way you could say it is Melchizedek was a forerunner or a shadow of what would be to come in Jesus Christ. Verse 3, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. There are some, I don't want to get too complicated here, but there are some that would say this was the pre-incarnated Christ that made an appearance on earth first as Melchizedek. I don't know. We're not going to necessarily get into that. But it's very obvious that the writer of Hebrews, his main point here is he is correlating Melchizedek with Jesus. And that's important because now the secondary theme is tithing. Now observe, verse 4, now observe how great this man was to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. And those indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest's office. The Levites were the ones who were in the temple and perpetuated the law. They were the ones that carried out the law and were in the temple. So now he is not only comparing and contrasting Melchizedek with Jesus, but now the law with Abraham, which in Scripture in the New Testament, Abraham always means faith. So, verse 5, and those indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest's office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brethren, although these are descended from Abraham. In this case, mortal men receive tithes. But in that case, talking about Melchizedek getting tithes from Abraham, but in that case, one receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives on. Jesus lives, right? Jesus lives. And he was receiving the tithes. Verse 9, this is very important. Again, this is New Testament scripture talking about tithing. Verse 9, and so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, or the law, who received tithes, paid tithes. For he was still in the loins of the father of Abraham when Melchizedek met him. What does this mean? I don't know. No, I'm kidding. What this means is basically, before the law said you must give a tithe, God had moved upon the heart of Abraham. In Genesis 14, you can also see it in Genesis 28, he moved upon the heart of Jacob. Jacob built an altar and said, this is where I will worship God and bring a tenth of all of my increase, bring a tithe. And so before the law came, God moved upon man's heart to give a percentage of his increase to God. Now it says, and even in the law, even though it was regulated, it was still through that same faith that Abraham had, that Jacob had. And so that's what this text is telling us. So is tithing a New Testament principle? This is very important that I say this because it's obvious. The tithe is not clearly reinforced in the New Testament. What we just read in Hebrews is one of only two areas that mentions tithe, and we're going to read the next one in just a second. The way it is in the Old Testament. Though giving absolutely is, there are a ton of New Testament scriptures about giving. Giving your all. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, sell everything and give to the poor, then you will be perfect. He later told the same thing to his disciples and said, give your all. If you remember, he was so impressed with the widow woman who gave her 2 mites. Do you remember why? He said, because everyone else is giving out of their abundance, she is giving out of her lack, and she gave all that she had. However, the tithe is not clearly abolished either in the New Testament. And that's an important fact that we need to understand. It's not talked about in the way that the law does, regulates it, but it does not say it went away either. Matthew 23:23, Jesus says this to the Pharisees. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. This is Jesus speaking. And you could argue, well, he's talking in reference to the law. But need I say again, Jesus is saying this in the New Testament. Paul also carries over the concept of tithing as described in the law to the church. He doesn't mention tithe, but he talks about everything that the tithe goes to. 1 Corinthians 9, 13 through 14. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple? And those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. One of the things that a tithe does, even in the New Testament church, is it supports the preaching of the gospel, whether that's pastors, missionaries, whatever it might be. Giving monetarily helps the individuals who are doing this as a living to be enabled to do that. And that is still modeled in the New Testament. All of Paul's letters, he mentions something about this. The clearest New Testament pattern of giving, in closing, is this, however. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. I can't say that the New Testament absolutely says it is a law you must tithe, because it does not. But it never says that that went away. And it does reinforce it, in my opinion, from Hebrews and also out of Jesus' mouth himself. But regardless, whatever the Lord has put in your heart to give is what we should give. That is the New Testament rule. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Not because I'm telling you this. Not because I'm telling you about tithing that suddenly you're going to bring your checkbook out and write a tenth of what your increase was this week. God needs to move on your heart, and God needs to move through his scripture. And what I am doing this morning is just revealing scripture. For God loves a cheerful giver. And I'll end with this. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." When we take grace too far is when we say, "Sweet, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to give anymore. I don't have to do anything because Jesus loves me exactly how I am." We are kicking out most of the Bible if we do that. There are requirements for us, not to be saved, but to live a righteous life. There are requirements, and giving is one of those. And I would say to you, let God move on your heart, but I believe, for my family and I at least, tithing is a part of life for us. I don't have time to go over our personal testimony, maybe I'll do that later, about how we tested God and we gave our tithe when we thought we couldn't. But God always provides. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Thanks, guys. Guys, please come forward. I want to pray over the offering. Father, that's a lot to digest, I know. God, I pray that we would be students of your word. Lord, that as anybody speaks, Lord, we would make notes or whatever we have to do to remember the text, the scripture that it comes from, Lord, and that we would go back and study it to show ourselves approved. And God, I pray that you would move upon each person's heart, Lord, to tell them what they are to give. And God, I pray that they too, as their family household, Lord, that they would wrestle with, God, do you want me to give a tenth? Lord, I could argue that the New Testament goes above and beyond. Everything goes above and beyond. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard it said of old, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, do not even have lust for a woman in your heart. He said, do not murder, but I say to you, don't even have hatred in your heart towards your brother. Do not even call him Raca, which means stupid. That you want to go above and beyond even what we had in the law. God, with our giving, we are not a church that begs. Lord, we want to give out of vision. Lord, not out of need, out of vision. And Lord, our vision comes from Scripture. So God, help us to decipher that for ourselves. Help us to not give out of compulsion, but to be cheerful givers. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.